There is a lot of scriptural truth in that song, Praise His Name, that we've been blessed with these songs. And the song, you know, as we sang, speaks so much. But what I wanted to touch on today was God's plan and His provision and His purpose. And our new nature, our new place, and our new hope in Jesus Christ. Praise His name. This morning, I'd like to spend just the next 10 minutes or so in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, as we're going to read these verses in a few minutes, but I think it's important that we always keep in the forefront of our minds that in Christ, we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we have complete liberty from the law of sin and death. We have a new home awaiting us in glory. We have a new place seated together with Christ. We have all of God's inheritance in Christ. We have a new life, as we read, one new man with Christ. We have all the exceeding riches of God's grace, love, and mercy in Christ. We have God's promise of victory in Christ. We have eternal security by the healing of the Holy Spirit in Christ. And we have an exceeding great reward awaiting us to share that throne, the throne of Almighty God with Jesus Himself. Robed in spotless white as a bride adorned for her husband. There, like I said, there's a lot there. Aren't you glad you know this is just a part? And all God requires is our complete love, our focused love. And I don't know that we can ever measure up to the love that He loves us with, but that's all He requires. He consumes, when you're in love with Jesus, when you're truly in love with Jesus, doesn't He consume all your thoughts every day, all the time, day and night? Isn't He all you think about? We are no longer swayed by the cares and the lures of the world. They mean nothing. They're temporal. Our focus should be spending all of our new eternal life with our bridegroom. That should be our consuming thought, woven throughout every hour of every day. We cannot say we love Jesus and flirt with the world at the same time. Scripture tells us that, you know, doing something of that nature, see, you can't have two husbands. You can only have one husband. If your love is for something else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not faithful. I mean, it's as simple as that. So now that you're in Ephesians chapter 2, let's just read together the first six verses. And you hath He quickened, that's our new life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Brothers and sisters, that's me. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've known Jesus ever since you were like 2 years old. But for a lot of us, we didn't come to a knowledge of Jesus as our Savior until we got much older. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's working in the lost, the sinners. Just, we don't want to even start to go there. Why would we ever turn back? And that spirit among whom also we had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's where the enemy loves to work. He loves to work in our minds. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But here's the good part. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How did that happen? How did that happen? How amazing is God's grace and love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not only have we been granted all the inheritance of heaven, but we are also encouraged to be partakers of it now. Know who you are. God doesn't want us to wait for it, deny it, reject it, put it on a shelf. Oh, that's maybe for later. See, we don't want to be like Esau, do we? That man did not value and accept his God-given birthright as the heir to everything which God had afforded his father. It was his. That was the tradition. That was the law. The firstborn son will be the heir of that father. I feel sorry for Esau because he denied the birthright. Not only did he deny it, he despised it. What a tragedy. I know we would never do such a thing, would we? Not in our own strength, but by his strength, we can do all things, right? I think the basic definition of who God is God is love. God is pure agape love. And God's grace is his means for bestowing that love to all mankind, to whosoever will believe. It's an open door for everyone who believes. Precious hearts, we need to see ourselves today, right now, as God sees us. And not let the enemy, not let anybody, any man, any enemy, any prince of the power of the air, tell us otherwise. We are now the children of God. We became his children when we first accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We became God's children. Furthermore, we're sons. And we're heirs. And we're heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer together with him. You know, there's going to be a lot of suffering on that race course. We've all experienced it. We're experiencing it right now. Take for the people we've just prayed for example. But see, we have a forerunner. That's someone who has run ahead of us. And that's the Apostle Paul. We are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. I don't believe anybody ever suffered for the name of Jesus more than the Apostle Paul. But he's our guide. He's holding that lamp of light out for us through his epistles that we can stay encouraged, that we can stay uplifted, that we know who we are. Paul suffered the loss of all things. He probably had a lot of things as a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee. Some people even think he was that rich young ruler. But he let all of that go. He denied all of that. All of that fleshly, Mosaic law, inheritance. He let it all go. For what? For the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his Lord. And so we will suffer. We are suffering. But we are running for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So when we just read those first six verses of Ephesians, ask yourself, why did God all do all that for me? Why did he do it for me? Well, the answer is found in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. I know we can say we see through a glass darkly now, but soon we shall see with better than 20/20 vision. You know, see, being a Christian, a believer, doesn't require us to adhere to the law of Moses. All that was done away at Calvary. As we sang, only love doth he require in the heavenlies. Jesus gave us just two commandments: to love God with all your heart and to love your fellow man. Don't you love him today? Not for what he's done, but also for who he is and who we are in him. Let's keep your eyes on the prize, okay? God bless you this morning.